very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, October the 25th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 Live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, a delegation from the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee will be in Washington, D.C. this week for the 2015 General Assembly of the Association of National Olympic Committees, ANOC, which is expected to draw more than 1,000 representatives from the worldwide Olympic movement.
There are many areas that will be discussed that pertain, for example, to our own continent, because once you have all the delegates from Africa attending, there's opportunities, obviously, to have discussions on the side of the main event.
Zimbabwe's constitutional court has been flooded with cases from detainees challenging their death penalty sentences. The court will hear as many as 18 cases in this coming week.
The argument next week is that because you have kept us waiting for so long, that on its own becomes cruel and degrading punishment, which is ultra vires section 53 of the Zimbabwean Constitution. This delay that you have made us to suffer, just waiting for our death, is punishment on its own. So you can't kill us twice because you've already killed us.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with its Tender Gumbo. A delegation from the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee is expected to arrive in Washington this week for the 2015 General Assembly of the Association of National Olympic Committees, ANOC, which is expected to draw more than 1,000 representatives from the worldwide Olympic movement. We caught up with the General Secretary of the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee, Anna Mguni, for her view on the issue.
Association of National Olympic Committees, which is known as ANOC, that is the association responsible for all Olympic committees worldwide, will be holding their 31st General Assembly in Washington, D.C. So all the National Olympic Committees will meet at this meeting with various items on the agenda, not forgetting that there will be important updates from organizations such as Rio 2016, the upcoming Winter Olympic Games. There will be highlights in terms of what is going on in the world of anti-doping. And then we will have the general business of a General Assembly, where any motions that are being put forward, issues to do with elections, issues to do with feedback on the association's business. So this is what the President and the Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee, and indeed from all the 204 Olympic committees worldwide, will be attending this conference in Washington.
How big is the delegation that will be representing Zimbabwe, and how important is it for you as Team Zimbabwe to attend such meetings?
There will be two delegates attending. Essentially, the invitation is always sent out to the President and the Secretary General to attend, as they are observed as the leaders of the organization. It is very critical. It is like any General Assembly to which we are an affiliate or to which we are an associate body, to be able to receive the necessary feedback and also to receive guidance. And also there are many areas that will be discussed that pertain, for example, to our own continent, because once you have all the delegates from Africa attending, there's opportunities, obviously, to have discussions on the side of the main event. So you find that these General Assemblies, we cannot take away the importance of how critical it is to be able to meet, whether it's annually or whether it's biannually, as a big community, as the entire movement. Given that we have such a variety of countries and a myriad of issues, it's also a very important platform for networking, because this is how you get partnerships built, cooperations developed. So it's a very critical platform for meeting.
That was the Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee, Anna Mguni, in Harare before she left for Washington. Zimbabwe's constitutional court has been flooded with cases from detainees challenging their death penalty sentences. The court will hear as many as 18 cases in this week. Many of the convicted men argue that they have waited too long, some as long as 20 years in jail. and that stricter criteria for death penalty convictions laid out in the 2013 Constitution should apply retroactively to their cases. There has been a de facto moratorium on capital punishment since 2005, and some want to see it taken off the books for good. Sebastian Mofo files from Harare.
15 detainees sentenced to death are expected before the Constitutional Court next week. This is in addition to three cases that opened Wednesday. The 15 men were condemned as long ago as 2002 and argue they have waited too long on death row. Their lawyer, former Zimbabwe Finance Minister Tendai Biti, says stricter criteria for death penalty convictions laid out in the 2013 Constitution should work in their favor.
So the argument next week is that because you have kept us waiting for so long, that on its own becomes cruel and degrading punishment, which is ultra vires Section 53 of the Zimbabwean Constitution. This delay that you have made us to suffer, just waiting for our death, is punishment on its own. So you can't kill us twice because you've already killed us.
BT wants the death penalty eliminated from Zimbabwe law completely. Currently, crimes punishable by death include murder and treason. The last execution in Zimbabwe took place in 2005. Justice Minister and Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa is among those who oppose the death penalty. In 2013, Mnangagwa said he would, quote, rather resign than sign certificates for executions.
We have 89 people on the death row. Two of them are women. They are lucky. They are not signing papers for their execution. So at the end of the day, I think we commit them to life imprisonment.
Zimbabwe is one of at least 32 sub-Saharan African countries that have the death penalty, according to Amnesty International. But many of those countries have not executed anyone in at least a decade. Sebastian Mofu for VOA News, Harare.
A member of the MDC, Renewal Democrats of Zimbabwe, who is expected to contest the by-election for Ward 27 in Makoni South on the 7th of next month, Constance Nemasuso, says she hopes to bring development to this area. The seat was left vacant when a ZANU-PF member who held the seat passed away. She is expected to battle it out against Grievous Shumba of ZANU-PF. She alleges that MDC team members are threatening voters and encouraging them not to go out and vote, as their own candidate is not participating in the election. Studio 7's Jonga Kanzemiri caught up with Nemasuso.
We are saying we have got clubs and we are going to offer seeds like maize seeds, garden seeds, fertilizers, even in schools, they are going to put a hand.
Are you facing any problems canvassing for support? Looking at your party being in opposition in an area where the MPs from ZANU-PF?
So far, we are not getting any anything from that. But the party that is not connecting is fearing that people must not go for voting.
Which party is that?
MDC supporters.
But how are you convincing people to vote for you or to go and vote, looking at MDC as a party that once also controlled Ward 27?
You are just saying that they are boycotting the election, so they must vote for me.
Have you started any projects that you think will help develop Ward 27?
Yes. We are doing clubs like sowing, gardening, and other projects.
What other projects were left by the late Mr. Chibanda that you may promise to sustain or to continue with in the event that you win the by-elections?
Mr. Chibanda did nothing. But we are saying as a party, we are going to work with people because we are doing something right now and they are going to do it after the election.
How many parties are also contesting the elections?
We are just two, RDZ and ZANU-PF.
And who is the ZANU-PF candidate?
Grievous Chumbayingwe.
What other promises do you have for the people of Ward 27?
The party will help the people to have balls and to pay school fees for the primary schools and to improve the clinic and even the school balls.
That was Studio 7's Jonga Kanzemiri speaking with Constance Nemasuso in Makoni South. Now let's hear from some of our listeners in the rural areas.
And I'm in the area. It is very difficult to stay in a rural area with kids whilst you have no husband. It's very hard to cater for orphans because in our country there's no money, there are no jobs. Everything becomes difficult.
How many children do you have and how are you living day to day?
I have got three kids, and I'm surviving by poultry keeping, but we end up meeting people that can pay you because there's no money. So we wish if our government should give us jobs or some projects that we just want to cater for children. Maybe I can say, let us work together. Let us work together. In our communities, maybe sometimes life will change, but now it's difficult. Maybe it will change.
If you were given a chance to speak to the government, what would you ask for as a woman living in the rural area? What kind of things would you like to improve?
If I was given the chance to speak to the government, I would ask the government for giving us projects and other ways, money for catering for children, money for paying school fees for children, money for buying food for children, because we don't have money.
This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We are going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequency and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. And coming up, the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues today. I'm gladly joined by Linda Mpofu, who is a women's rights activist. Linda, thank you so very much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Linda, this month is October, which is also the month that is commemorating breast cancer awareness. Tell me more about what's happening on the ground where you are in Gwanda. And are young people, young women especially, into or know about this month and the importance of it?
I think people tend to be ignorant when it comes to commemorating such events, because even our government tend to have a bias towards the, you know, capital cities and bigger towns like Harare and Bulawayo. When you come down to Gwanda, no one knows, no one cares. So there is no information at all that made this month we are commemorating breast cancer.
Now, when we talk about the issue of breast cancer, of course, my show does focus on the youth. So let's talk about young girls or young women in Zimbabwe. Are people interested in finding out more information about health issues like breast cancer?
Well, I think for now people are trying to, because of information that us as well as women rights activists are sharing. But basically, people just don't care. You know, people are busy looking for economical gains than, you know, really caring about their health. So it's more about people should share info. A lot of information should get down to young girls and women.
And you spoke earlier about the issue that, you know, in some of Zimbabwe's rural areas and some of the other areas outside of the capital city, you know, there's so many programs that go on maybe in Harare, but they don't touch the ground where they might matter the most. How are you as a women's rights activist working to make sure the people in your community of Gwanda know more?
We are trying our best, but, you know, sometimes if you work for a certain organization, you are limited to one area. You can't really work in the whole of Matabeleland and South because of financial constraints. But then it's quite easy for the government, maybe using the health ministry, to actually, you know, go out there to other areas and impart information and knowledge about breast cancer. At the end of the day, it lies with the Ministry of Health.
Now, of course, to our young sisters and our young cousin sisters, you know, as you know, we get older and everything, we're learning now about some of these health issues and, you know, the whole idea that you should start early. You know, you should begin, for example, breast exams early, you should begin screenings early. You know, how are you seeing that being done, especially from our mothers? Are our mothers able to teach us what to do?
Well, I think our mothers, our old mothers, I think that they can't, you know. Now, the onus is now on us, the young women, to teach our kids. Because I don't remember my mom telling me about, you know, breast cancer. Because I think it was, there was this cultural belief that breast cancer only affects old women. So, and I think maybe that's why she never even bothered herself teaching about breast cancer when I was young. But now that we know that breast cancer is a disease that doesn't choose whether you're old or young, the onus is now on us to actually teach our children, to teach our cousins, our little sisters about this breast cancer.
And, you know, what advice do you give to even some of our listeners who are young women when it comes to getting information? Because, you know, of course, you were saying that the information might be scarce.
For us, we're in town, and if we have access to internet, let's Google it. Let's Google about breast cancer. And whenever we hear that there are meetings, please just go in our large numbers so that we get information. One other thing that I would like to urge us young women is that we should be able to visit the hospital every now and then to get ourselves checked and screened. Even if you don't feel any pain, just visit a clinic or a hospital. Get yourself checked. It's for our own good.
And as for you, you are located in Gwanda, and of course we have some listeners there. How can they get in touch with you?
Okay, I am only found on my phone number only. My numbers are 0772-857-781. 0772-857-781. I am actually doing a lot of work with youth in Gwanda.
Alinda, on that point, I want to thank you so very much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Thank you very much.
That was women's rights activist Linda Mpofu joining me today on the Youth Forum. I'm Tatenda Gumbo, and as usual, make sure you join me next week.
Thank you, Tatenda Gumbo, for that inspiring discussion. This is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Now, to recap on today's top stories, a delegation from the Zimbabwe Olympic Committee is expected in Washington, D.C. this week for the 2015 General Assembly of the Association of National Olympic Committees, which is expected to draw more than 1,000 representatives from the worldwide Olympic movement. And Zimbabwe's constitutional court has been flooded with cases from detainees challenging their death penalty sentences. The court will hear as many as 18 cases this week. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, October the 25th, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye in Washington. Wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.